Good evening, folks. I'm Tristan Schuler, and this is Keegan Pierce.
Hello.
We're here with The War for Evolution, Battleground Academia. Today, we'll be covering a very real problem in the world today, and that would be the lack of acknowledgement of evolution in some schools right now. It is a very real threat, and we're here to cover it.
Well, it's primarily a United States threat. But.
Well, not necessarily, actually. Let me pull this up here. We have a...
Oh, you have a...
Yeah, we have a link.
Interesting.
Yes. There is a nation that whose director of education is on the war path against evolution.
We're going on a crusade.
Pretty much. It is an article by The Guardian. This article is called The Removal of Darwin and Evolution from Schools in a Backward Step by Michael Dixon. And in it, he mentions not only that Israel and Turkey are basically don't have it in there, that the Minister for Higher Education, earlier in the year that this was written, mentioned that he's on a warpath against it, that it is scientifically wrong. This man is named Satyapal Singh.
A name that we are incapable of pronouncing.
Correct. and he just claimed that Darwinism was just scientifically wrong. And
I think I've actually read the article you're referring to. Doesn't he say that...
No one ever saw an ape turning into a human being.
That's not how this works there, buddy.
That's interesting because that's going to lead to how it works. What evolution is the slow change over time of species to better match their environment. And this includes the process of Darwinism, which is adapting to the environment in which you're in. A good example of this I have involves giraffes and the size of their necks. So many years ago, there was a horse-like animal with a very short neck, and it ate food off the ground. But over time, there were so many of them that food is starting to get scarce. So the only food available would be on trees, and in order to eat them, they would need a slightly larger neck. Well, one was born with a slightly larger neck. This is called mutant giraffe kid. Mutant giraffe kid would probably be bullied in schools with giraffes if giraffes did go to schools. He'd be ostracized, but you know what? At least he could eat some food from a higher branch.
We should also probably clarify again that this kid that came about over... Like
this was a spontaneous mutation. He's only a slightly larger neck. It's slightly larger.
Okay. We should specify. Saying, like instantly. Large.
No. Like, no. That'd be like me saying what that guy said.
I'm contradicting myself
right here. Anyway, so the neck would need to be slightly larger in order to reach the higher food, in which it did. It was a mutation. But while the other giraffes did not like this kid, I should clarify, giraffes don't actually go to schools.
I don't think that's something you need to clarify.
I shouldn't have to, but I mean, someone's gonna mention it because they're mad about the topic. But the giraffe still impresses another giraffe. They have little giraffes that also have slightly larger necks. And those giraffes grow up successful because they have those slightly larger necks to get the food. Over time, though, more mutations occur. Necks get slightly larger with each generation. Till over time, you're many generations away from that original mutant giraffe kid. And suddenly, these giraffes have big necks. They're not massive yet, but they're kind of big. And this continues and continues and continues until you get the giraffe with the long neck that we all know and love today, like Jeffrey from Toys R Us.
We should also probably point out that there are the plants also go through. This is not specifically an animal thing. Trees that giraffes grew long necks to get to reach the leaves and such grew thorns to counteract the giraffes now being able to reach them.
That is true.
Which, again, is an overtime thing. And as a result, the giraffes also develop tougher mouths to be able to deal with that. And it's a constant back and forth.
That is very true.
We should also probably clarify, for the sake of argument, because this is a common point that people against evolution like to poke at, is what the definition of a theory exactly is. A theory and a hypothesis are two different things. Most people interpret theory as what a hypothesis is, an educated guess.
It's just a theory.
I don't know what that was, but
it's all the people that say that why it shouldn't be in there.
Anyway, a theory is how do I want to word this? It's essentially a hypothesis that has gone through revision and been essentially proved. A theory is now a hypothesis that has backing. It is still, in essence, something that we don't have like an over what, like I don't want to.
It's not.
We can edit this later.
We can edit this later. It's not solid, but it's.
It's not 100% solid, but there is substantial evidence. It is essentially at like 98% is what a theory is.
Yeah. So it would be like saying, like if everyone was blind and they were trying to prove that objects have qualities that they cannot interpret, that color is a thing. That's a bad example. Bad example. Okay, it's
back to the mutant draft kid.
Not quite. Maybe. Let's say the giraffes got super intelligent and they're like, okay, we got to figure out where this all started. So they find bones and remains of these giraffes that have shorter necks and they're like, whoa, what are these? Are these even us? And it gets into a little debate here because all the, you know,
It was planted evidence.
It's planted evidence, and they're curious about it. They don't understand completely. So they find more giraffes, smaller and smaller necks, until they eventually find the remains of giraffes that were like horses. That's basically what's going on right now. We're finding remains of these apes that appear like humans. And we do have some records of these. There's a site for this called humanorigins.si.edu. We were to actually talk about this earlier. Forward and backslash. This is a humanorigins.si.edu /evidence/human-fossils/species.
I had to think about it for a second. Was it backslash or was it forward slash?
Yeah. And if you go to the site, you will find many different species. I'm going to try to pronounce some of their names. There's Ardipithecus cadaba.
You want me to take a look at it?
Okay, Keegan's going to mention the next one, which is right here.
Let me see if I can get to it.
So, right here.
Ardipithecus ramidus.
Can you do that closer to the mic?
Ardipithecus ramidus.
Oh, wow. That was actually pretty good.
Don't patronize me.
So if you can check this site yourself, and it is chock full of our ancestors that with even DNA evidence we can prove to be related to us. So now that we covered that it's a pretty prominent problem.
Well, we covered what exactly evolution is and what the differentiation between a theory and a hypothesis is. We should probably get to that point of why exactly it's an issue. This isn't an issue with evolution being taught in schools per se. It's essentially the battle, because this isn't evolution versus Christianity or religion. We're not doing that. We're doing evolution versus creationism, which we know for a fact is incorrect.
Correct. Okay. This is taking the stand that, you know, this is what should be taught to children.
Yeah, and this is against the religious belief that of things like the Earth is however many couple thousand years old.
When we clearly have evidence that it's way much older than that, like millions, billions. No, I wouldn't say millions. No, but I would say billions.
No, yeah, I think it's millions or billions. I can't remember exactly.
More than thousands for sure.
Dinosaurs were 65 billion.
Yeah, so we know that much. And that's basically the main issue here is just getting the facts straight. You can believe what you want to believe, but as long as you know what's known, that's the issue.
Do not corrupt the younger generation. It's 4 billion.
It's 4 billion.
Yeah, but just Google, thank you.
Are you sure? I just wonder. Yeah, okay, that's pretty accurate.
And our radius is 3,958 miles.
Dang. So we're going to cut to an interview with our local biology teacher, Mr. Poland. I interviewed him myself.
One of our local biology teachers. We do not have a singular biology teacher in the whole of our area.
Yeah, we don't, but we have multiple, thank goodness. And we're going to talk to him about some of the things we talked about here and get some feedback on that. What is a scientific theory?
So a theory is an idea that is widely accepted via the scientific community. It has been tested and retested, and the data is sound and supports the hypothesis. So sometimes, theories are prone to change as we get more information. Theories can change, but to be a theory, you have to be widely accepted by the scientific community.
As a theory, how solid would you say evolution is?
Evolution is an extremely sound theory. It has been sound for many, many years, and that is why it is in virtually every biology textbook.
Do you think that evolution, including all portions pertaining to human evolution, should be taught in schools?
That's a tricky question. I'll start by saying, yes, evolution in general should be taught in schools. As far as the human element, that's where things get a little tricky. I think it's a good idea because there is so much fossil evidence that is sound and, again, widely accepted. However, many high schools tend to steer clear of it, and it is something that colleges definitely focus more on than high schools.
Do you feel that it is important, and if so, why?
For the human biology?
Either or.
Yes, it's definitely important as a whole. Evolution plays into so many different aspects of biology. It explains a lot. There's much evidence that makes that a sound theory. As far as human evolution is concerned, yes, I think that's important as well. The evidence is overwhelming, and so it is something that should be addressed.
Thank you for coming on tonight.
My pleasure.
So if over everything we've discussed, we should now mention what you can do about this battle, where how you can fight it. And one big point you can do is contacting your local representative on your state's laws or your nation's laws. If you're living in another nation here, I'm contacting your local government representative if you're living in a democratic country. Hopefully, everybody here is in a safe, nice place and not in North Korea.
I wasn't going to say it, but...
I mean, you were thinking it.
I know, that's why I said I wasn't going to say it. I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it.
But yeah, the contact your representative, talk to them about the laws, and just showing your concern for what's being taught in schools and making sure that the facts are straightened.
Or just call to complain about those kids on the radio.
Yeah. This has been the Battlefield Academia War for Evolution. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Thanks to Keegan for coming in.
I had no choice. He's holding me hostage.
I am not.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm not.
I was obligated.
Anywho.
He told me there was candy in here.
We'd also like to thank Mrs. Stabler, who offered this wonderful room. And we'd also like to thank the Touchstone Energy Classroom Grant from Great Lakes Energy for allowing her to build the room. And we'd also like to thank Charlie Vickers, our genetics teacher, for allowing us to do the project. This has been discussion over evolution and why you should be taught in school.